Hi out there. I'm Pat Pauley, and I want to welcome you to my show, Get Active, on Alternative Talk 1150. Each week, we invite a guest to share information about an activity right here in the Puget Sound region that you might want to get involved in. And this week, we're talking about getting out in nature with Woody Wheeler, author of the new book just out about 10 months ago called Looking Up, Birds and Other Natural Wonders Just Outside Your Window. Welcome to the show, Woody.
Thanks, Pat. Good to be here.
Great. And I'm going to let you explain what led you to writing this book and becoming a strong advocate for conservation.
Okay. Well, that's my life story, but I'll keep it short.
Okay.
Actually, that story is in the book. It's the very first essay. This book has 65 essays. It has 40 color pictures, but the first essay is called Blame It on the Waxwings. It goes back to when I was in elementary school, and this scene will be playing out at schools all around here next month. I was a crossing guard, which a lot of kids are around 9 or 10 years old, and I was a really small kid, very shy kid, so they put me on this remote corner with very few people crossing. But what it lacked in human traffic, it made up for in bird traffic. And while I was out there, these crabapple trees that were right near me, they'd had their crabapples, and the crabapples were a little bit overripe. And the birds were coming to those and feeding on them, and in particular, cedar waxwings. I figured this out. I went home and looked it up in the family book. But because the berries were overripe, the birds were a bit intoxicated.
Oh, really?
And that made them stay there and be kind of fearless. So
kind of like hard cider in those.
Yes, yeah. It was hard cider. And so I could look at these birds very close up. They'd lost a lot of their fear. And cedar waxwings are flat-out gorgeous birds, you know, with crested heads and bright red accents and lemon-yellow tails. And, you know, they're a thing of beauty. And, you know, a lot of people now use the expression life-changing, but that really was for me. And I came back on the weekend. I rode my bike back to that spot. There they were again. I saw them even closer. And to me, it was a miraculous experience. And so I've been watching birds and practicing conservation pretty much ever since.
Okay. And he's been schooled in it and taught it. And you do just everything with conservation in your entire career, right? And you're still in your career.
I'm still in it, yes. You know, I've tried. We all have to take jobs to make a living, and you don't always get the perfect job to do what you want to do. But over time, I've had the good fortune to work for places like the Nature Conservancy, Audubon Society, Seattle Parks Foundation. And now I am a tour guide, and I take people out on bird and natural history trips. And I do presentations, I do classes, and as of 10 months ago, I have a book.
Great. Well, thanks, Woody. We'll be right. Got to take a break here. We'll be right back to talk more with Woody Wheeler about his new book, Look Up, Birds and Other Natural Wonders Right Outside Your Window. You're listening to Get Active on Alternative Talk 1150.
Brookside Dental is a proud sponsor of Get Active, hosted by Pat Pauley. We at Brookside Dental are known for our artistic excellence, cutting-edge technology, thorough and conservative care, while providing on-time appointments, patient comfort, and a highly trained, customer service-oriented staff. From our award-winning dentists, Dr. Brian Cave and Dr. Cynthia Pauley, to our highly educated and skilled dental team, we invite you to visit our website at brooksidedental.com or call for an appointment at 425-643-2818. We are located conveniently in Bellevue at 13715 Bell Red Road. We look forward to meeting you soon.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to Get Active. We're here talking to Woody Wheeler about his new book, Look Up, Birds and Other Natural Wonders Just Outside Your Window. And, Woody, let's just say a few words about the book itself first. I want to get into some other conservation topics, too. But and I've read this book. I just really liked it. What are the good things about your book?
The
I want
things.
It from the author.
Okay, I'm slightly biased.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think it's 65 essays. They're short, they're positive, they're upbeat, there's some humor in there. That is not always the case in environmental books. A lot of them are really serious, a lot of them are very intense. A lot of them, as you and I discussed earlier, have a doom and gloom tone. I purposely avoided that. My intent is to inspire people to find joy in nature, and out of that joy and inspiration will come, in my view, the conservation.
You know, and this is a book that, as I found, you know, you can just pick it up and read one little essay, and it'll make you feel better about things. It's not a doom and gloom. And then you can pick it up again, and you're not picking it up in the middle of something. You just read another couple essays, and it's really fun reading. It's educational. It's interesting. Now, how about the pictures in this book? That's one thing I thought was quite wonderful and had never seen pictures like this before.
Oh, thanks.
I'm glad you get all of those?
Well, there are 11 professional photographers represented in the book, including the cover photo, which is of a golden-crowned kinglet.
And it's beautiful. It's going to help you sell a lot of books because that is a gorgeous cover.
It is. And if you know anything about that bird, it's a hyperactive little bird that likes to be up in the tree canopy, and it's very difficult to get that bird to sit still or get anywhere close to eye level. That was taken by Jeff Larson, a really wonderful professional photographer, and it took him the better part of a year to get a shot like that. He was stalking kinglets for a long time
before he got there. These little tiny birds.
And Jeff used to do sports photography, so he's really good at capturing things that move.
Oh, action, of course.
Yeah,
so it just, you know, it goes straight across that skill, doesn't it?
Right.
To
it
birds.
Does. It does. But that's part of, I think, what makes the book enjoyable is the photos that are in it that help tell the story.
And the book not only talks about birds, but it talks about other aspects of conservation and the environment and the green canopy and just all kinds of interesting topics. I think this would be a good present even for teens.
Well,
you know?
It's been given to teens as a present, and I do think, again, from a biased point of view, that it's a good gift book. Because it is in digestible pieces. There are pictures to accompany the stories. And like you said, you can pick it up here and there and read a portion, put it down for a while, pick it up again. And actually, this book was kind of modeled after a book I found while traveling that had that sort of tone about it. It was called The Book of Om. I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard it, but it's essays that have little spiritual vignettes.
Ah.
And they're very short. They're like one page essays.
Oh, I'm going to have to get that one, too.
Yeah, it's a pick-me-up. It's a really nice book. And I thought, you know, someone needs to do this with a nature theme. So that was an early inspiration for me to write this book. And I incorporated, as you saw, some scientific elements so that you do learn something. But I tried not to go overboard, which is another kind of bird book that's out there, the ones that are like textbooks.
Right.
And I'm nerdy enough to read those textbooks, but not everybody is. So this is meant to be more approachable. I'm
so
reaching out.
So you're trying to reach out
I'm
and get
out.
A lot of people involved in this movement.
Yeah, I am. There are a whole lot of books that are written for the choir, and they're really intense field guides, wonderfully done.
But only the choir will read.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of books for the choir. This is meant to go outside the choir. Somebody who's maybe saw a backyard bird and thought it was interesting, wants to find out a little more, but isn't ready for the, you know, the textbook, and maybe isn't ready to join the organizations yet, the bird groups, or even go on the walks. But maybe later on. Yeah, this is an entry-level thing.
Well, now, in your book, we talk here about adults getting into new things. So what's the easiest way to get into really noticing the environment and, of course, the birds in the environment? That's kind of the main topic.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest for someone who's inside and might see something out the window, and so what's the next step?
Well, pretty close to that, actually. I have an essay called What's in Your Backyard, and to me, that's where it begins. If you have a place you can go out in a backyard or a balcony or even look out a window and do that and just be quiet for about 20 minutes, as I say, get your cup of coffee, you know, get a notepad, maybe a pair of binoculars, and just sit quietly and watch for 20 minutes. What's going on in the skies, what's going on in your neighborhood. And I still do this weekly if not several times a week. And it's magical. It's amazing. You notice the weather. You notice the way the air smells. You notice what birds are calling. And then you just let your curiosity lead from there, and you can start to take pictures if you want, draw things, and learn more about what you're seeing and hearing. But that's a starting point, just right in your own backyard.
I notice that, you know, I'll see birds, but I see the bird, and then I don't watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I was reading some things in your book, I was watching a blue heron. I've seen him out there. He lives out on my dock, but I don't really watch him. You know, I was watching him try to see when he must dive for fish or something.
Oh, they poke with their bill. They just reach in and grab things out of the water. But, you know, blue herons, that's Seattle's city bird. The Audubon had a contest to come up with a city bird a number of years ago.
I had no idea.
Blue heron is the Seattle bird. But, you know, it's an interesting creature that's made a really strong comeback. It's pretty widespread, and it doesn't just eat fish. It eats anything it can get, frogs, little birds. I've often said if we were 6 inches tall, we might be heron food. But they're fascinating, and the way they stalk, and they're so beautiful. You know, you can take hundreds of pictures of great blue herons, and you still can see the beauty in them.
Yeah, they are. I love it in flight. They're just wonderful. Now, what's the next step? Okay, so you're outside, and you're just looking. And mm-hmm. and it can end there, and you can just keep looking, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can sit in the park and look.
Yes.
You know, if you don't have a backyard.
Yes.
Don't let that get in your way.
Well, no, go to the neighborhood park. That's right.
So now, if you get into birding, is that an expensive hobby, or can you get into it on a budget?
You can get into it on a budget.
So how would you do that?
And I have an essay in my book called Birding for $100, you know.
Oh, wow.
You could get everything you need for $100, including a pair of binoculars and field guide, and go to your neighborhood parks and do pretty well. There's a really famous book called Kingbird Highway that by Ken Kaufman, where he entered this big competition to see as many birds as he could in 1 year. And he was a teenager, and he had a lousy pair of binoculars and a backpack, and he hitchhiked. And he ended up being one of the people that saw the largest number of bird species in a year, and now he's a renowned birder, and he has several bird books of his own. But he came from
that's kind of a classic, isn't it?
He came from
King
that
Bird
humble
Highway.
It is a classic.
Yeah.
It is a classic. It's a really good read. Here I am recommending other people's books, but that is a good read.
Well, see, after you read this one, then you'll need something else on birds and the environment.
There are lots of good ones to read, but you know, it's not the equipment; it's the activity. It's the interest. You can spend a tremendous amount of money on optics and cameras and such.
Right.
But that's not really what it's about as much as going out and doing it.
But you need some kind of a field guide that's inexpensive. What would you suggest for that?
Well, you can get a field guide for around $20 that's really good. National Geographic has an excellent one.
For the Pacific Northwest?
It's national, but
I suppose we get birds here from all over.
We do.
Though.
We get birds, you know, we get hundreds of birds here. So you might as well get one of those. And then if you go outside the borders of the state, you'll also be able to identify birds. But National Geographic has a good field guide. I also recommend the Sibley Guide to Birds. That's very authoritative, really well done. Those are two excellent books.
Oh, okay. Now, thank you. I'm going to buy one of those because I started watching birds because of your book.
Uh-oh.
So now I'm getting so interested.
Mission
I have to have
accomplished.
A guide.
Glad you're enjoying it. So, there are also apps.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but
and,
I kind of like, if you're sitting outside, kind of like to have a book.
Right.
I don't know. You know, apps are good, though, too.
Yeah, there are a number of those, and they're also around $20. And they can. One thing nice about the apps is you can play their sounds, so that's really helpful.
Oh, yes.
Not only do you use the visual cues, but when you hear a call or a song from a bird, then you can play it and see if it matches up, and it's very helpful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Well, now, I have to ask you, why has bird watching become so much more popular? It used to be just kind of nerdy people, I guess, that did this. But I talked to my daughter about birding, and she just goes, oh, that's so in right now. Everybody's doing that. And I really didn't know that. But then I went on eBird, and they're really so much information and groups at universities are working with this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Why do you think they've changed so much?
Well, it's catching on. It's one of the most popular outdoor activities in North America. It's among the top activities, like downhill skiing and hiking and gardening. It's right up there.
And really?
Yeah. But, you know, when I say that it is, it's that's all levels of birding. Everything from watching birds on your backyard feeder to going on trips to other countries to look at birds, you know, the hardcore people. So it's everything in between. It's the whole gamut. But when you consider that, all the people who are from casual observers to the hardcore people that are counting birds and going to different countries to see them, there are some 80 million people that do this. And it's a big business, selling lots of optics and cameras and books and guides. And it's really caught on. So I don't know if I can explain it. It's been an incremental change over time, and there have been more and more ways to get involved. We've had some popular movies like The Big Year, that was also a book called The Big Year that got
And that
interest.
Was another year where they went out and counted birds all year, right?
They tried to see as many as they could in one year in North America. It's a true thing. It still goes on.
So when you talk about everybody, especially guys, they like a little competition, right?
Yes.
And if you like sports with competition, here's your competition.
There's a way to make birding competitive. I'm not one of those people, even though I'm male.
But, you know, that attracts some people.
Oh, it does. Well, eBird, you mentioned, one of the most popular features on eBird is there's the count, you know, of how many species you've seen. And, of course, that gets some people, more men than women, I would generalize, into trying to see more than the next person, you know, and up their count.
Oh, and they give prizes. And there's, I will tell you, that eBird has Mega Million sightings on it.
Yeah.
And there's eBird in every country. It's crazy.
There are thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands now, people using it. And eBird is kind of an extension of that backyard bird watching. If you want, you can get on eBird. It's free. It's online. And you can log in your sightings. And you count not only the different species, but how many of them.
Ah.
And you can start a backyard list. Yeah.
Eric could do crows, and he could put in a whole bunch of sightings.
Yep. American crows on my list every time. That's right. But you'd be surprised at what else comes over. I get 50 different kinds of birds in a year in my yard. Now, I am an educated watcher and listener, but most people would be able to find, I'd say, a couple dozen throughout this area in many parts of the country.
So now this popularity with birding, how's that tie in with conservation efforts? Have you noticed a tie in with people? And, you know, how does that work?
Well, I think it does work, because when you start to develop an interest in birds and appreciation of them, the next thing is you want them to have habitat so they can survive. And you notice when you go out and watch birds, where they are most is places that have more habitat. There's a real direct correlation. I do these Christmas bird counts for Seattle Audubon, and you'll go into a park and you'll just see dozens of species, and then you'll get into the neighborhood streets and you'll be down to a handful of species.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the parks are just like these gems that are packed with the birds. And then when you're in the more urban areas, you know, it's the crow, it's the house finch, it's the house sparrow, it's the starling. You're soon getting to the end of the story.
So that kind of gets people thinking about the environment.
Yes, it does. Then. It's a sensitization. It really does. And it also gives them some reason to care about it. They have kind of a relationship with these species. They want to keep seeing them. They want them to survive. So that means their habitat needs to survive, too. And guess what? Their habitat is our habitat. You know, it's a win-win-win here.
Yeah.
We want to be around. We need to take care of that habitat, too. It keeps us alive also.
Well, now, you were talking about these bird counts, and it's already time for a break,
Well, we'll get back to that.
And we're going to talk about that when we come back. And we'll be back shortly. You're listening to Get Active on Alternative Talk 1150. We'll be right back.
Rise up this morning. Smile with the rising sun.
Brookside Dental is a proud sponsor of Get Active, hosted by Pat Pauley. We at Brookside Dental are known for our artistic excellence, cutting-edge technology, thorough and conservative care while providing on-time appointments, patient comfort, and a highly trained, customer service-oriented staff. From our award-winning dentists, Dr. Brian Cave and Dr. Cynthia Polly, to our highly educated and skilled dental team, we invite you to visit our website at brooksidedental.com or call for an appointment at 425-643-2818. We are located conveniently in Bellevue at 13715 Bell Red Road. We look forward to meeting you soon.
Body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk 1150 covers it all.
Welcome back to Get Active. We're here talking to Woody Wheeler about his book, Look Up. And we were talking about Christmas bird count, which is the things that happen at Christmas have undergone a complete change since many years ago. Why don't you talk about that? It makes me sad every time I hear about what they used to do, but we need to talk about it.
Well, that's a change, an example of a change in culture. You know, and conservation is really about our culture and how we value the natural world. And the natural world is what we survive in, too. So it's about saving us. But it goes back to what was called a side hunt. And they used to, around Christmas in parts of the country, shoot as many birds as they could and make these stacks. And back to the competition you were talking about, they tried to have a giant pile of dead birds. And the contest was to see who could make the biggest pile of dead birds. And so out of that came this idea, and I think it was George.
Somebody looked at that with horror.
Yeah, one of the founders of Audubon.
Wait!
Yeah, it was George Grinnell, I believe, who's one of the founders of the Audubon Society, and said, how about if we count the birds instead of kill them? And we can still be competitive, and we can still try and come up with big numbers, but they'll still
much
be around.
Much better competition, right?
So that started the Christmas bird count, which is now all over North America, in other countries too. And it's all done by volunteers. It's not on Christmas Day. It's somewhere near Christmas on one of the weekends. And you go out and you count species and individuals, and you get a sense of how many are in an area. And I participate in the Seattle Christmas bird count and have for half a dozen years.
Well, can anybody get into it?
I mean, anybody can, yeah.
Oh, there you go. See, that's something the listeners might want to do.
Exactly. You don't have to be an expert. And you really learn a lot, because usually it's a mix of people with experience and people with less experience. And so in one day, you can learn a ton. And, my group does Shell Shoal Bay and Gold Gardens Park up to the locks, and we see upwards of 60 species in December along there. And it's pretty amazing.
And it's a good idea to get out in the middle of winter and get a little vitamin D.
Exactly.
Little fresh air.
Around here, it's almost a necessity. And, birding is one avenue for that, to get you out, to get you taking walks. I do bicycle rides to bird places. I do it by kayaking and canoes. And it's wonderful. You always have a good time.
Now, you have lots of other essays we could talk about. But one thing that you mentioned in one of your essays was modern-day zombies. And I thought that was really kind of an interesting essay. So why don't you talk about modern-day zombies and how that relates to the environment?
Sure, I'd love to.
Or does not relate to the environment.
Well, I think we got a problem here in current time, which is people are so wed to their technology and so addicted to it that they're looking down, the opposite of that's where my title came from, looking up. You can see it all around, that people are just in this zone where they're looking into their handheld device, whatever it is. And to the
and
point,
they have their headphones on, so they don't hear anything.
Yeah, they don't see, they don't
And they
hear.
Go on a hike, and they're oblivious to everything.
Exactly.
In nature.
Exactly. And that's the sad part. To me, I've said this in the book, it's kind of like, what if you went through life and you never discovered music or art? And I feel that way about nature. If you never noticed the birds, the wind, the sunsets, the stars, the planets, on and on and on, the wildlife, you're missing out. It's inspiring. It's beautiful. And when you're hooked into your technology, you're not noticing those things, much less noticing the next car that could hit you or a pedestrian that would walk into you. You're really, you're not exercising good survival skills, and you're not using your senses. We have these wonderful senses, these ears and eyes and the skin, and we can pick up on a lot of things. And, even though we were talking about hunting a moment ago, And I'm not anti-hunting, just so you know and the audience knows, I'm not at all. But we have these instincts that we've honed over years to where we can tune in and notice animals and birds. And it's
so
fascinating.
So it's really a natural thing for us to do.
Sure it is. Sure
if
it is.
We don't have headphones and and devices that we're looking at.
That's right. And I feel like we're in an obsession with all that now. And I can see some signs of us backing off. In fact, before I came here, I heard about someone saying that they call them cell phones for a reason because they imprison us. It's a voluntary prison that we put ourselves in. And we don't notice what's out there in the sky. You know, I saw an osprey coming over here, and I was probably the only one in the parking lot that noticed it because I was looking up.
And it had a big stick in his claw.
And it had a big stick. It was headed for a nest. And, you know, it made me smile. It was an interesting thing. It makes you happier. It makes life more interesting.
And another thing you were talking about a lot is the tree canopy, which you've kind of mentioned.
Yeah.
But the tree canopy in Seattle's gone down by quite a bit in the last few years.
It has.
And I know it's really going down in Bellevue because of all the development, you know.
Right.
What can we do to preserve our trees? Because trees are habitat for all kinds of animals and birds. And
plus, they make the stuff that we breathe, air. Oxygen comes from trees, and they take out carbon dioxide. I mean, they're a marvelous free service having them there. I have a bumper sticker.
So it makes our environment healthy, right? And what's your bumper sticker?
It says, trees are the view.
Trees are the view. I like that.
Because that's one of the excuses for taking them down. People want this view. But I have an essay called Tree Tolerance, and I feel like that's another cultural change that we first need to understand what they do for us, keep us alive, provide habitat, provide beauty, hold the soil in, keep us cool when it's too hot like we've had this summer.
Right.
They have many, many benefits. And, you know, we get annoyed with the little nuisance factor, the leaves, sometimes the limbs come down. But, you know, on balance, their value is tremendous.
Learn to work around our trees,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and there are ways to
and
trim
them.
And you can keep, that's right. We need to value them. They're a marvelous asset. And if you care about animals and birds, that's where they live.
Well, we are already running out of time. Thank you so much, Woody, for sharing all of your information. Now, how do we find your website? And I want to schedule a guided tour. I didn't get to ask you exactly what you do on a guided tour, but I bet it's really interesting.
Love to take you on one.
What's your website?
Okay, it's conservationcatalyst.org.
Conservationcatalyst.org. Be sure to listen in every Tuesday at noon for Get Active on 1150 AM and streaming worldwide from the 1150 KKNW website. I'm Pat Pauley, your host, signing off on Alternative Talk 1150. Have a great week.